Looking to get started in engineering? Well, welcome to Your Guide into Engineering, where we talk about becoming engineers and becoming better people through perseverance and problem solving. We also dive into technical topics typically found in engineering. I'm your host, Ashley, and I'm an electrical engineer. Now, if you're thinking I had it all figured out from the start, straight A's, fancy high school courses, or a clear step-by-step path into engineering, I want you to think again. My story into engineering does not start out in a top-ranking high school or a state-of-the-art lab. Now, not that there is anything wrong with that. In fact, I highly encourage you to pursue such opportunities when they present themselves. I would have loved to take on such endeavors early in my life, knowing what I know now, but I didn't. My journey into engineering begins with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of detours, and a whole lot of self-doubt. I dropped out of high school to work and provide for my newborn daughter, as my parents simply didn't have the financial means to take care for my siblings and me, let alone a newborn baby. Eventually, I earned my high school equivalency, known as the GED, and enrolled in community college. After that, I transferred to a four-year university, and along the way, I was working full-time, trying to make ends meet while raising my daughter as a single mom and trying to keep up with academics. Honestly, I fell short in a lot of these areas. I missed homework assignments, I paid bills late, and hardest of all, I wasn't always there for my daughter. Somehow, I made it through, and now I'm living a better life, something I have always envisioned for myself and my family. I want to share what I've learned in hopes to encourage anyone who may be listening. I'm here to say, keep on going. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, no matter where you start or how you get there. In today's episode, apart from some words of wisdom I want to offer, we're going to dive into a very important topic in math. The math topic is catered to an audience who does not have much exposure or just needs some more intuitive knowledge on algebra. For today's episode, I'm going to dive into something called variables. Variables are used everywhere in math. They're quite literally their name. Variables are varying things. To represent a variable in math, we use letters of the English alphabet. Now, the more advanced in math you get, the more instances you'll see the Greek alphabet also used. For example, we see the letters X and Y appear a lot in math. We can say something along the lines like, let's say, the full moon takes X number of days and Y number of months to appear. Notably, there is a specific type of variable I have encountered as an engineer I find really particularly interesting. Variables called random variables. They are used in probability and statistics, in which I would like to discuss more in a future episode. But anywho, back at the topic at hand. Fun fact about the word algebra. The word comes from a treatise written by a 9th century Persian mathematician, the compendious book on calculation by completion and balancing. The original title is Arabic and it's pronounced Al-Jabr. Now, I know I probably butchered that pronunciation, but hey, there's your fun fact for the day. Okay, so we have variable represented by letters. Now I'm going to walk through an example of how variables are used and manipulated by mathematical operations, arithmetic, such as adding and subtracting. But before I dive more into the topic at hand, I'm going to dump some more of my lore to bring forth some words of wisdom I want to share. Now, I've mentioned before, I did not complete high school and I began working to provide for my family. Instead, I received my high school equivalency, known as the GED, and the highest level of math I formally completed as a result was pre-algebra. To enroll in community college, I took a placement exam. The placement exam placed me in remedial pre-algebra, which I passed with no problem. The remedial class following intermediate algebra was not so forgiving. I ended up retaking that class not once, not twice, but three times. The topic just wasn't sticking and I was struggling. The first time I took the class, I had no idea what algebra really meant. I cannot grasp what algebra was trying to tell me through these letters. I failed. And then failing the first time led me to have a lot of math anxiety, leading me to fail intermediate algebra again. The third time around, I took the time to understand what algebra really was. What was algebra trying to tell me? Eventually, the more I practiced, the more I realized algebra involved things I already knew: counting, adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing, but with the twist with variables. So I began to tell myself, well, I know how to add, I know how to subtract, and all that good stuff. That's like easy peasy, no problem. And slowly, my anxiety for math began to absolve, and my understanding of math began to really flourish. Part of the issue and problem was also actually finding the time to practice algebra between keeping up with work and my kid. Practicing practically felt impossible. However, I made the time. I needed to pass this class by any means. So during my lunch break, I pencil in my algebra homework and just practice. I say again, learning is not passive. I encourage you to practice. A couple of minutes a day can take you a long way. I also encourage you to fail. Don't be afraid. And believe me when I tell you, if you know how to count, add, subtract, multiply, and divide, then I can guarantee you, you could do algebra in some way, shape, or form. Don't get discouraged. So now, enough of my lore and let's get started. I'm going to start the example by placing you in a hypothetical scenario. Suppose you work at a grocery store as a supervisor, and it's Friday after 5 o'clock p.m., and you get off at 6 o'clock. You tell yourself, TGIF. My goodness, do people still say that nowadays? Oh, God, I felt old. Okay, anywho, the store manager is tasked with keeping track of the number of apples and bananas arriving on Fridays for inventory. However, the store manager is on vacation with limited access to communications, so you are in charge of today's inventory while they're away. You have no idea where your manager left the purchase paperwork containing the number of apples and bananas they ordered. Unfortunately for you as well, the delivery did not come with the purchase order. The supplier's office closed at 4:30 p.m. and the delivery arrived after, so calling the supplier for a copy is out of the question. You remember, at some point, the store manager mentioning, lately, customers are buying more bananas than apples, so they decided to order 1,000 more bananas than apples. Fortunately for you, you open the shipment and there are only a few apples in the box, so you're relieved. You can feasibly count the number of apples before you get off at 6. Fortunately, you also know how to work with variables, saving yourself from counting all the bananas one by one. So you tell yourself, okay, the number of bananas represented by the letter B is 1,000 more than the number of apples, A. So you set up first an expression, A plus 1,000. But this isn't the end. You also need to build a relationship between the number of apples and bananas. So you build an equation. You set the expression A plus 1,000 equal to the letter B to get the equation. You double check your rationale by rethinking the equation. The number of bananas, B, is equal to 1,000 more than the number of apples, A, or A plus 1,000 is equal to B. You're convinced the equation you built does indeed give you the number of bananas. Now, you count the number of apples and get the job done before you're off for the weekend. You find the number of apples is 26, so you add 1,000 to 26 to get the final number of bananas as 1,026. Now, let me present to you another hypothetical scenario. Suppose the store manager instead left you with the following. They decided the number of apples to orders was 1,000 less than the number of bananas. The delivery driver also forgot to bring the apples and will be arriving tomorrow. The delivery also didn't contain the purchase order and the office is closed and it is well after 5 o'clock p.m. Inventory is due today and the task needs to be completed. Fortunately, again, you know how to work with variables. So you decide to pull a few employees into the stockroom area to begin counting the bananas while you think the problem through. Taking what we learned from the previous hypothetical, you first set up an expression with what you know. 1,000 less than the number of bananas given by B is given by the expression B minus 1,000. You then complete the relationship between the bananas, or B, and apples. A is equal to B minus 1,000. Again, you convince yourself, does that make sense? B minus 1,000 is equal to A. Indeed, we can say that the number of apples is given by B minus 1,000. You're convinced. So you rush off to help and count the bananas. You find the numbers of bananas is equal to 1,026. Plugging 1,026 into the equation, you get 1,026 minus 1,000 is equal to 26. So the number of apples is 26. You now have both the number of bananas and apples to complete inventory. Now let's hope that you use this as leverage for a raise in your next performance review. Jokes aside, we could have also saved ourselves from the mental gymnastics with the second hypothetical scenario by realizing that we can find the number of apples from the first hypothetical by doing some algebra. Considering the first problem, we can simply solve for a variable to get the number of apples from the first equation. Solving for a variable in this instance, the number of apples, requires balancing equations. I want you to take the phrase balancing equations quite literally. Let us take the equation we set up the first hypothetical, which was A plus 1,000 equals B. Before I proceed, I want you to imagine a balance scale and what it actually does. The balance scale is balanced whenever both sides are equal. Let's say we place three balls on one side of the balance scale and another three balls on the other side of the balance scale. The balls are all uniform, so the balance scale is balanced. Suppose I subtract one ball from one side. The balance scale would tip over because the number of balls on each side are no longer equal. So in order to make the balance scale equal, I must subtract one ball from the other side since I took a ball on the other side. We know what we do on one side of the balance scale, we must do to the other in order for the scale to be equal. This balance and ball scenario can also apply to math equations. What we do on one side of the equal side or one side of the equation, we must do to the other because one side of the equation must be equal to the other side of the equation. The balancing scale allegory explains well the English translation of the title of the treatise the Persian mathematician came up with some many centuries ago, the compendious book on calculation by completion and balancing. The key word here is balancing. We are going to use this balancing scale allegory. We place each side of the equation on each side of the balance scale. On one side of the scale, we will have A plus 1,000, and the other side, we will have the letter B. Because we know A plus 1,000 is equal to B. So right now, the scale is balanced. So we want to find the number of apples with what we know, which is just the number of bananas. So we must solve for the variable A to get the number of apples. given we only know the number of bananas. And so to do so, we must isolate the variable first by performing some operations on the equation. Isolating the number of apples will first require getting rid of the 1,000. So we know, okay, 1,000 was added to the number of apples, A. So to get rid of it, we must subtract 1,000 from the number of apples. So what we do is we say A plus 1,000 subtracted 1,000 simply gives us A plus 0. And A plus 0 is just A. And then we also realize, okay, since I subtracted 1,000 from one side of the scale, I must subtract 1,000 from the other side of the scale. And then we get a new expression on the other side of the scale, or the other side of the equation, which is B minus 1,000. So now we have a new equation, which gives us the exact number of apples, given we only know the numbers of bananas. We know A equals to B minus 1,000 is the same equation we concluded in the second hypothetical, when the manager only told us that they ordered 1,000 less apples from the number of bananas. What we have done here, I argue, is demonstrated the power of algebra. We were able to come and solve a problem with simple arithmetic and a little bit of thought. So, some key takeaways from today's lesson. We learned how to set up expressions and find relationships between variables through equations. We also learned how to solve for variables by balancing equations. In this episode, we have also demonstrated the power of math, I argue, again. Math helps you develop a mindset to solve problems. The mindset can, as demonstrated in our hypotheticals, help make your life easier and also get some leverage at your annual performance review. Okay, but again, all jokes aside, I want to leave you with another key message from today's episode. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to assume you probably already made up your mind about learning math since you're interested in engineering. However, not everyone thinks so favorably about math. I have heard one too many times, well, why should I learn math? Why should I learn algebra? When will I ever use algebra? Well, the hypotheticals I have walked you through are one of the many examples I can think of as to why you should learn math and how you can use it. I like to say, it's not about when you will ever use math, but how you choose to use math. This generally applies to any form of knowledge one acquires. Math is a tool, a powerful one at that. Engineering is much considered applied sciences and mathematics. Math is applied and served as a tool in engineering. You ultimately make the choice on applying the knowledge you have. I highly encourage you to take what you have learned today and apply it to your life. By doing so, you will go far as you navigate your way into engineering and beyond. I also highly encourage you to try to convince everyone you know about the importance and power of math. There is a lesson to be learned here, regardless of their opinion of math. That is all I have for you in today's episode. Please share the lessons learned today, whether by sharing this podcast or by simply sharing what you have learned. Talk to you guys in our next episode. Thank you for listening.